need approval of today. One's January 4th and the other's the 19th. Those were both regular meetings. I'll entertain a motion to approve both of those meetings minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Lynn to approve the minutes of both of those meetings, January 4th and 19th of 2016. Any changes? Okay, all those in favor of leaving like they are, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, those are approved. Now we're on to if there's any amendments or we need approval of today's meeting agenda, so I'll entertain a motion to do so.
So move.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made. It's been seconded to approve today's meeting agenda. If there's no changes, all those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, we'll leave the agenda set like it is. Item 5 is public hearings. There's a public hearing today on Ordinance 2016-01, and that's an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2016 budget for known changes. And on that, I believe, is the moving some money for funding for this building, and there's also an addition. It's been amended since the first reading to include the transfer within the wastewater department from reserves to the composting project to complete the concrete slab work and septage receiving basin. A copy of the ordinance can be viewed under 14A. So is there anybody in the audience that would like to talk under this public hearing? Seeing no hands going up, we'll move to the next item, which is bid awards. There is no bid awards on today's agenda. The next item is visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to views related to today's agenda? Okay, if you want to go first, state your name and who you represent, please.
Thank you. My name is Dr. James Baker. I represent myself. The idea of trying to make the borough some money and some great jobs. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to thank you, sir, for your ideas of asking for ideas to make money and to create some jobs here. And I have submitted my proposal to the Marijuana Subcommittee for your review down the road. And I thank you for your great job you're doing. I know you got a tough one ahead of you in many different respects, but thank you for that. Cindy, I agree with the statement that you mentioned when we were here last about trying to correct some of the taxes from the state. I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I'd like to maybe suggest a step further and go ahead and have a borough tax of $25 per ounce. I think that might actually help also. Kurt, I appreciate your concern for the public on the zoning and your public safety. I thank you for your work on that, sir. Bob, sir, in Colorado and Washington State, I have witnessed the money made from this cash cow. And I'm just hoping that you find the best way to milk it. Nancy, you asked me a really good question, a medical question one time. I actually had to go research it. So I appreciate that. And I think that in my pursuit of my doctorate, I did my master's thesis on the second toxicity effect of marijuana on the human body. And I have found that the medical aspect of it is truly phenomenal, and it will be becoming. So I thank you for your question on that. Jay? I appreciate your leadership in the subcommittee meeting, sir. You did a very good job. I thought it's a tough community subject, and you did a really good job. You have very fresh political views. I appreciate that. I also want to thank you for your help to the community and your job that you do professionally. So thank you. Eric, you have an excellent reputation in town, in the community service you do, and in your workplace. So I'm going to value your opinion on this subject. Okay. Steve. Sir, I find you to be an excellent city manager. I've enjoyed listening to your reports, and I know the borough owns many facilities, and not all of them are producing income for you, and some of them could be made to lease or make money. Steve, there's a lot of zeros in this legal crop. I'm going to recommend that the PDA, Public Development Authority, an affiliate company of that, apply for and own the dispensary in town here and testing facility. I was originally going to recommend the hospital have the testing facility, but due to restrictive zonings, that's going to make it impossible to do. So I believe that the PDA affiliate company would firewall and protect the borough from any incursions. It would also control the industry. It would. And you would create quality and make sure that the safety of the public is good. By controlling the industry, you in essence would buy from the local licensed growers here and sell it for a substantial profit margin plus tax to the buyer. So I think there's a good opportunity to not only create jobs, but to make some additional income in this community, whatever the market is. I've heard people say there is no market here. Well, whatever the market is, it would at least go and be applied toward your bills and not be going out of state or into the black market's hands. One example I'm thinking of right now, the borough, I do believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, they own the armory and paid $432,000 for it years gone by. And if that's the case, I've been here 8 years, and I've never seen the armory being used. And I think that might be an excellent facility to consider being a dispensary and a testing facility right there. Also, the issue of banks have come up and how money can't be put into banks because of this right now, the way it's statute and whatnot. Well, I believe most contractors I know in this town will still take cash, and you can take that cash and invest it right back into your community right away for whatever you need. So it is a free enterprise system. I believe in it, and I think the cream will rise to the top in this profession, and it is my hope that all of you will get together and find the best way for this community that can benefit by creating jobs and income and done safely. So I thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Mike, you had some comments. Can you please come to the microphone and state your name? Who you represent, please?
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Stainbrook. I'm a borough resident, and I represent myself. Thanks for giving me this time to speak to the assembly. I'd like to speak to two items on the agenda listed under new business. The first one is I would like to speak in support of Resolution 2016-4, a resolution requesting the Alaska Legislature consider less severe cuts to the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission. Presently, and especially when I lived outside the old city boundaries, KFSK and public radio really has served this community, especially, I would say, in the times when prompt public information is critical. KFSK has really supported this community, and I've read the resolution. I think it's well written, and I think it's fitting that the assembly support KFSK with this resolution. The second item I would like to speak to is the item of the cake, Petersburg Cake Road funding. I definitely support a move to have the funding reappropriated. I also realize that it's important to consider the city of Kuperoff and the city of Cake in this process. I'm hoping it can be a win-win for all three communities and the state with the reappropriation. I would like to see the discussion of this reappropriation continued. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anybody? Oh, Karen. I thought I saw another hand come up.
Well, I don't think I had it up before. My name is Karen McCullough, and I'm a borough resident. And I'm just kind of echoing, though we don't always agree on things, some of the same things Mike said. One is KFSK. I think that being a strong voice at the state level for public broadcasting is important. And the story I would tell there is a couple of years ago, there was an early morning power outage, and I got a call from a Head Start lead teacher in Petersburg saying, should we have school? And I said, well, are you listening to the radio? And no. So I got my hand crank power radio out and started listening and was able to stay in conversation with her and let her know that it turned out that we did not have to cancel school because they were able to bring the power back up. But without having that kind of connection to knowing what was going on, I didn't have to walk down the road to the police station and find out what was going on. I didn't have to try to call anybody else. I just listened. And so that is such a huge benefit that the station gives us all in any kind of an emergency. So it's one of my primary reasons for supporting the radio station. Secondly, I would really encourage looking at the funding for the Cake Access Road and really seeing if it couldn't be redirected to projects that would benefit Cake, Petersburg, and that wouldn't encroach on the city of Kupernov. And I'm really in favor of doing whatever we can to help Cake get electricity, and if giving, you know, if trying to get a fair amount of that money redirected to Cake, I would personally be in favor of it. Thank you. And thank you for being here on such a beautiful day. Oh, my goodness.
Thanks for your comments, Karen. Anybody else in the audience with views related to today's agenda? Tom, did you want to speak at all to the KFSK thing?
Thank you. I'm Tom Abbott. I am the general manager at KFSK. And I submitted a letter and some other documents to help support it. I also have some further information, but I did want to read the letter as well for the public's benefit. Mr. Mayor and Petersburg Assembly, KFSK is a full-service media center serving all areas of the Petersburg Borough. Our broadcast service provides extensive service to the citizens of the borough as well as to the borough government. As a public radio station, we rely on the generosity of our members to fund our operations. Government grants also represent a significant percentage of our operating revenue. The state of Alaska is facing a fiscal crisis resulting in difficult budget decisions. KFSK expected and indeed did receive a deep cut to this fiscal year 16 state operating budget. We expect the same in the fiscal year 17 budget. However, we believe the cuts, both realized and proposed, are disproportionate. And the fiscal year 16 that we're underway, the governor initially proposed an 18% cut to public radio. Throughout that session, that cut fluctuated from 60% to as deep as a full elimination of 100% cut. In the end, the cut was finalized back at the governor's initial proposal of 18%. Now, as the state starts this new budget process, the governor's proposed cut to public radio is 27%. So again, we expected a cut. We're working to absorb a cut while continuing to serve our mission to inform, enlighten, and entertain. Thus far, KFSK has made cuts where we can without cutting services or personnel costs. While personnel changes may be forthcoming, our federal grant money would be jeopardized should we drop below required staffing minimums per the Corporation for Public Broadcasting grant eligibility criteria. Grants from the Petersburg Borough, the State of Alaska, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, combined with the tremendous generosity of the businesses and individuals in the community, support KFSK's service to the community. So we thank you all for your continued support and your consideration of our request for a resolution supporting our service to the community. And then I'll entertain any questions you have, but I also put together just a brief outline of what we do provide the community. And I believe everyone is aware of this, but I think it's a good opportunity here for us to remind what this community has with KFSK, because I think it's a tremendous opportunity that we have this broadcast outlet in the community. Number one is public service announcements. There's approximately 30 a day that are read that support various support groups, service organizations, nonprofits, Petersburg schools, government, the borough, the state, and federal. State-designated local primary media outlet, which is what we just heard reference to. KFSK has been designated by the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to provide emergency services for communications in the event of an emergency, and oftentimes that's going to be with no power. And that's where having a broadcast outlet is really important. recent examples where that went into effect was the tsunami that we had, the tsunami warning that we had, I should say, landslides. There was a school lockdown. There was a disruption of service at the hospital. Each one of those situations, KFSK went into emergency broadcast mode, and we supplied the community with responses from the fire department, hospital personnel, EMTs, all the first responders are involved with KFSK when we disseminate that information. As far as the programming service goes that we provide, including this, we provide approximately 60 hours of live public meetings that are in the community, whether it's an assembly meeting, school board meeting, or what have you. There's also call-in programs that you have participated in yourselves. School board has. There's been other call-in programs. Whenever there's a discussion, one perhaps that may be coming forthcoming is the remodel of this building. There have been call-in programs that offer the opportunity for officials and citizens to interact and further disseminate information about whatever the topic may be. We offer candidate forums. We offer ballot proposition forums. We provide election coverage, local, state, and national. Approximately 660 local news stories are produced annually. That's about 55 a month that we produce. Approximately 75% of our news production is broadcast throughout the region of Southeast Alaska. 15% approximately goes statewide. In addition to our local news service, we deliver content from our Coast Alaska Regional Newsroom, which consists of 14 reporters from Ketchikan, Wrangell, Sitka, Juneau, and Haines. The Alaska Public Radio Network has a total of 42 reporters across the state, and we have one national correspondent in Washington, D.C., which is Alaska's only D.C. correspondent. KFSK provides four newscasts daily. We deliver local, regional, and state news. We deliver a nightly statewide newscast, a weekly fisheries news service. In addition, we deliver national and international news from National Public Radio and BBC. We manage a news intern program. We've been running this for 14 years now, four of whom, out of those 14, became reporters within the state of Alaska, and that was sort of our intent, was to grow our own and get reporters here in the state. KFSK also works with the high school in teaching broadcast production to high school students. And then culturally, we provide 3,500 hours, approximately, it's actually a little bit more than that, of locally produced volunteer-hosted programs with folks that range in age from 11 to seniors. We'll keep their age private. KFSK had over 200 volunteers last year. They put in time hosting music programs, organizing our music library, answering telephones, producing Tongass journals, health tips, safety tips, providing play-by-play coverage of basketball and baseball games, and many other community events that we do. Our budget breakdown that I provided you, we have $482,000 budget this year. Locally, 51% of that is raised locally. $245,000 locally. That's amazing. Federal is $125,000, which is 26% of our budget. The state, which is what I'm here to talk about, that's 23% of our budget. The governor's budget proposal is to cut 27% of our 23% budget of our budget. It's significant. If we should have to go into personnel, we will be in danger of losing the federal grant, because the federal grant has a stipulation that you have at least four full-time equivalents. That's where we are now. If we lose employees, we'll lose our federal funding. So, just as we last year, we anticipate a cut. We know there will be a cut. State of Alaska is in a situation where cuts are necessary. We believe that a 27% cut to public broadcasting is disproportionate when the overall cut to the whole state is $100 million. This is a bit disproportionate to go after one particular service at 27% when on average it's in the neighborhood of 5% across the board. So I'm asking for your support. With the way you could change the language of the resolution that I proposed, if you do so, I'm here to answer any questions you may have. And I think it's a very reasonable and modest resolution, just asking the legislature to consider a less deep cut, not hold us harmless. We know that's not going to happen. And you know, frankly, that's not fair that any state grant should not be cut. We're in times where state grants should be cut.
Thanks, Tom. Any questions of Tom? Bob? Yeah.
When I went through your sheet you provided, Tom, it looks to me like in the state of Alaska, from the year 2000, your budget, except for 1 year, has stayed almost identically the same, whereas throughout the state there was a significant increase. Am I reading that correctly? A significant,
that's correct.
Over $1 million increase in budget statewide.
That is correct.
But yours hasn't. And now when I look back here on the reductions that are coming about, from the state, looking at it from the state perspective, you seem to be taking a disproportionate share of that cut. Am I reading that right?
You're reading that right. The development of Coast Alaska, we were able to, at our statewide discussions, when we meet before the Alaska Public Broadcast Commission, now the way the funding works, the legislature will decide how much money goes to public broadcasting. The commission receives the monies from the legislature. The commission actually decides which licensee gets how much. Through our advisement to the commission, we developed our own slicing of the pie scenario. They asked for station managers across the state to help them decide what we believed was sort of the criteria that they should use. We were in a position of being in a leadership position at that time, and we proposed that we could withstand further cuts because we knew cuts to CHEVAC and some other very rural, McGrath, very rural stations, we think we would have lost those stations. We didn't want to do that. When we pooled our resources together here in Southeast, it made us stronger with less state money. And as you can see, we've also grown our local revenue at the same time. So because of that, we were able to withstand. We actually said we can withstand more of a cut, just don't cut these other stations deeper. That's coming back. And now, basically, we have been strong, and the cuts are coming back at us.
And as I see it, if my figures are correct, you took a 24% cut from the state then last year.
It was that until that 11th hour. That 11th hour when the ferries, education, and public broadcasting in the special session, it came back, which was a matter of about $5,000 came back into the budget. Per station, per the 26 stations across the state.
Okay. Thank you.
It was roughly about $100,000 got put in at the very end of the special session last year. So, again, we're talking not great numbers of money here for the whole public broadcasting system. It's $2 million for the whole state's budget.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions of Tom?
So, Tom, you asked for less deep cuts. What would it, how much could we decrease without losing another full-time employee?
Well, our five-year plan, I'm actually anticipating, and I'm hoping we could get the final cut down to a 50% cut. We can sustain that. I like the idea that it's being staggered into what appears to be a three-year plan. But it's my understanding that the plan is to go to a 75% cut in the end. So 18% last year, 27% this year, and then the balance next year. That's what I believe is the plan. That I may be off on that. That's what we've learned in our discussions that we've that I've had with members of the Finance Committee in the Senate, not so much in the House. The House has a different number. If we could get to this particular year, another 18% cut, 20% cut, we can withstand it. We're gonna, we are going to be cutting services in the future. We will be cutting services again next year. We're trying to keep our service to the community and listeners. We're prioritizing. So we're going to have more community meetings, see what people actually really value, and we'll budget accordingly. But it's reality. I mean, we are going to be we can't continue to fund everything with less dollars in our budget.
Okay, any other questions of Tom? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Tom. And,
thank you.
This is something we could not only support this resolution, maybe we could be on our topics to talk to our legislators when we go to Juneau later in the month. Any other visitors with views related to items on today's agenda in the audience? Seeing none, that brings us to visitors' views unrelated to today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience with views unrelated to items on today's agenda? Seeing none, board, commission, committee reports. There's nothing listed under that topic. Consent agenda, there's no items under that spot in the agenda. So that brings us to other report of other officers. And the first report there is the mayor's report. Again, we're still seeking letters of interest. The borough is seeking letters of interest from borough residents willing to serve on the following boards, commissions until October of 2016, two positions on the hospital board and one on the planning commission. So then remember, you don't have to file the disclosure statements now since our last election. So that is not there anymore. So please, if you're interested, submit your application. And they could be sent to the clerk at the borough office here, or mailed to email them or box 329. On the 8th of February, it is going to be Ruth Sandvik's 100th birthday. So we're going to have a mayor's proclamation of Ruth Sandvik Day. And there's a little thing that her family put together, her sons and her daughter, and this is what we're going to give to Ruth. And Ruth W. Sandvik, resident of Petersburg for 75 years, is celebrating her 100th birthday. And whereas Ruth has been a valuable member of the Petersburg community in many ways, such as a school teacher, wife and mother, librarian, and disc jockey, and whereas Ruth has contributed to the richness and quality of Petersburg life in civic improvement, arts and garden organizations, as well as offering steadfast support of museum and library projects, excuse me, now therefore, be it resolved, I, Mark Jensen, mayor of the Petersburg Borough, in observance of this special occasion and to honor Ruth and celebrate her life and achievements, do hereby proclaim Monday, February 8th, 2016, as Ruth Sandvik Day. So thank you, Ruth, for all you've done. I hope you're listening. And we have a reminder. The second meeting of February has been rescheduled to Monday, February 22nd. That will be at 6 p.m., and that's because some of the assembly members are traveling to Juneau for Alaska Municipal League. Bob Lynn and Vice Mayor Loganakis and myself are going to that function. While we're there, we're going to have a meeting with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and Commissioner Lucan with ADOT regarding the Papke's Landing, Kupanoff and Entrance Island docks, and we discussed it at the last assembly meeting. While we're in Juneau, we'll meet with them, and we will be meeting with his boss as well, and there will be a representative from Kupanoff there as well, Dave Beebe. I just returned today from a chamber function in Ketchikan. It was well attended. It was they named Ketchikan recognized as a Coast Guard city. There's only 21 of them in the country out of 250. So it's a pretty big thing. And they've been there since like 1918 and have been storing buoys and stuff there in support for the lighthouses in Southeast. Had a chance to visit with Admiral Abel and mentioned to him that Petersburg really enjoys the presence of the Coast Guard in Petersburg, and it worked out good because we had that reception for him Friday, the day before I went to Ketchikan, and told him how well attended it was, and mentioned that we would, you know, I couldn't tell him I could make the decision, but the feeling in the community is that we would try to adapt harbor facilities or whatever we'd have to if the bigger cutters came along line. So it's something we'll need to keep abreast of. Also got to meet with Mike Flegel. He's a deputy commissioner from Senator Sullivan's office, and talked to him about secure rural schools funding and payment in lieu of taxes and other issues while we're there in the Central Air Service. So it was a good trip. So that's the end of my report. That brings us to the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Police Chief Swihart wanted me to kind of remind the public we've had an increase in homeless activity here in town with folks squatting in vacant or abandoned buildings, reminding folks you might want to keep those locked up if you don't want unexpected visitors. Investigator from Alcohol Beverage Control Board was in Petersburg last week. I don't think we have a report yet on that. Officers Rowley and Preston will be receiving some mandatory certification training in Sitka in February. Sending them off. We had a tabletop exercise for the new emergency action plan for our blind slough hydro. This was held on Thursday of last week, and Power and Light basically ran the show. This is basically what happens if there's a problem out there, primarily related to, you know, evacuating people in the hatchery or in that potential zone if the dam had a problem. In preparation for replacing the concrete street poles along Harbor Way and Singley Alley, the line crew will be working with Public Works to remove the concrete sidewalks from around the poles. The existing poles are cracked and deteriorating. Replacement poles have been purchased some years before, and they're now at a point where we're going to get them in place. Parks and Rec is reviewing the City Creek Trail reconstruction plans on February 4th at 5:30 p.m. There will be a public review meeting to describe the project and for public comment at the PIA conference room. This is a PIA and Parks and Rec partnership created through a RAC grant where PIA is doing the bulk of the actual trail restoration, and our folks are helping with some of the design and education process. Parks and Rec, we're getting ready for spring, ordering the plant seeds and planning the projects and cleaning. So if you see Jesse out and about, tell him thank you and get ready for the flowers that we always enjoy. Thanks to the Public Works staff, which removed the community Christmas tree following Power and Light crew's removal of the lights. It's going to be hard to find as nice a tree as we had this year. And again, thanks again to the Lit Simes for allowing us to put the tree on their lot for the community. In my written report, talked about a couple of water valves that were covered over, or we thought were covered over during the Main Street paving. Found out that it's just one. The others were actually covered over in sand, and so we were able to find them and Carl's group would rescue the day. So thanks to them for all the work that both Public Works as well as ADOT did, and my apologies for taking a shot at them if they'd covered up more. They, in fact, was not as big a deal as we were worried about. We had an RFP for the replacement of the baler conveyor and support structure has been advertised. A pre-proposal conference was held on January 26th, and proposals are due to the Public Works Department on February 9th. So far, we're getting some good interest on that project. Horai and Associates, our local engineering firm, has provided a proposal for permitting a design of an open-top container loading bulkhead at the Baylor facility. Remaining funds in the landfill slope stabilization project will be used to fund the consultant's work. And kind of thanks to Carl and his staff, as well as Eric and Cindy, who recently got a chance to visit and tour the facilities and run down of the various public works departments. So we're going to quiz you later on what you learned. But something I do encourage assembly members to do when you have an opportunity. It's interesting. Carl is working, thanks to his reputation in town. He is the guy that's been appointed to work with a local property owner on a temporary construction easement for this building. They trusted Carl. They did not want to talk to me or our attorney. So thank you, Carl. Thank you from the library to Officer Jared Popp for attending the library's January staff meeting to discuss personal safety and difficult patrons. Unfortunately, that occurs at times, and the officer helped them know what to do and how to handle that. The library has its February events calendar is up, and registration for classes are open. Included is an author event with Carrie Enge and Ernestine Hayes, which is today, February 1st. iPad classes for seniors, painting and drawing classes, Tsunami Bowl, student presentations, and the weekly after-school STEAM programs for kids. So check out their calendar if you're looking for things to do. Sheelan and the Manor, and this is on here because it is unfortunately continuing to be an issue for us, which is we won in this case on a Medicaid hearing that they've been fighting for just over a year and a half. We win, and Medicaid will go back retro to last June on the funding. But one of the things, while the Manor is housing and care for a lot of folks, that involves something more than just keeping the floors vacuumed. Often Sheila and her staff become advocates for the money that these folks need to be able to stay in there. And it's increasingly hard to do those negotiations with both the state and feds that are involved. So thanks to her and the staff that have done that. We've had a rash and a whole bunch of new applications in assisted living. There's now 12 on the wait list and 4 people on the elderly housing wait list. So we're re-looking at how fast we can turn vacant apartments around to try to eat into this, but you just don't have the room for everybody who would like to be up there. We celebrated Martin Luther King Day and at the elderly housing area with their fire alarms going off, actually. We had a switch and a compressor that failed. This will be replaced when the new part arrives, and in the meantime, we're manually watching it to make sure that we don't have problems up there. But there was, for those of you who may have heard the fire alarm, there was no fire. It was a equipment malfunction. Jody's working with department heads, and we're getting the FY 2017 budget, proposed budget, together. Still waiting for a couple of budgets and some additional capital project information. Once it's all pulled together, Jody will sit with me, and we'll go through any changes necessary, and then we'll get it ready for submission to the Assembly at our next meeting. So you'll get the proposed budget then, and then we'll start scheduling budget work sessions for the Assembly on those areas that you guys want to look at. Mike Renfro, the borough's assessor, will be in town on February 4th and 5th to follow up on a few items before the assessment notices go out on March 1st. And just kind of a reminder, any qualifying senior that has not previously submitted a property tax exemption application or any senior that was asked to provide proof of eligibility needs to have their information to the finance office by February 15th at 5 p.m. You miss that date and you don't get the exemption. Senior citizen being one who is 65 or older before January 1st of the exemption year. Last, this building, municipal building bids are on the street with an expected bid open date of February 25th, 2016. It is likely the Assembly will be asked to award the bids at the first meeting in March. Was warned by the architect that we do have a bid conference here for the contractors on February 12th. It can happen that they have a lot of questions, and those dates can be pushed back as far as the bid opening. We just won't know that until we get a little closer to that February 25th date. That's it.
Any questions of Steve on anything on his report? Okay, moving along, we go to unfinished business. Only one item there today, and it's second reading of Ordinance 2016-01, and that's an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2016 budget for known changes. I'd entertain a motion to approve that ordinance in a second reading.
So move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Loggadakis to approve Ordinance 2016-01. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Oh, yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay. Ordinance 2016-01 passes in its, or 2016-04. I backed up a little bit. No, wrong. It was 2016-01. Passes in its second reading. I'll get it figured out. Okay. New business. Resolution 2016-04. This is a resolution requesting the Alaska legislature consider less severe cuts to the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission, and this is what we had a little bit of discussion on earlier in the meeting. So I would entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Castro to approve or adopt Resolution 2016-04. Any discussion?
Bob? Yeah, Mr. Mayor, and I direct part of that to Tom. Would it be a little bit stronger if we were to say in there on that one, on your one statement, that you've already taken a 24% cut in a previous year, and then go on from there and saying that...
Do you want to give us your input on
Sorry,
that,
Tom? Sorry, can you repeat that, Bob?
Yeah, there was a, and I can't find the resolution, but there was a point, there was one in there where you said you've already taken substantial cuts. And so
this particular fiscal year, was an 18%
right.
cut. Now there's an additional cut this new fiscal year, which the budget process is just beginning, of
right.
27%.
I understand. So my only point is in your resolution that we're looking at here, would we be in a stronger position if we said that you've already taken in past years, you know, 18 or 20 or whatever the percent was, and that you know that there's going to be additional cuts. But, you know, when you're looking at 50%, you're actually looking, if it's 27 plus 18, you're looking at almost 50% cut in what you're doing, and that's, to me, unreasonable. That's all the point I was trying to get at.
I'm looking at the wording in the resolution, and I don't see...
I can't find the resolution. I haven't.
In it where it says anything about percentages or...
It doesn't.
It just says on the second, whereas a budget shortfall of this magnitude results in tough choices and difficult cuts in all facets of state government all across Alaska. But what do you have, Cindy?
Two things. One, I need to disclose that my husband is on the board of KFSK. However, it's not a paid position. But I just want to be honest about that.
If it was, it wouldn't be next year.
Yeah. But I also think that the resolution would be stronger if you also identified that your funding has been flat in recent years. So it's not that you're taking from an incremental increase. You've stayed the same, and now you're being cut below levels of even prior years.
So maybe we should add a whereas in there in an appropriate place to that effect. Does that sound good? Kurt.
Mr. Mayor, I appreciate, Tom, your understanding of the state needing to take some budget cuts and stuff. So maybe would it be advantageous for us to put down the percentage that you would be willing to go down to that you could work within that framework? So you thought 18% would be another reasonable cut for you? I mean, would that make sense?
15 is actually something that I, I've been putting together different budgets. 15, we can continue with our local service as it is.
So is that something that we'd like us to suggest maybe in our resolution?
If you
and
wish
say, you
to,
know, give them a solution instead of a problem.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I welcome that if you wish to. I kept this specifically vague to let the political process move forward on the budget level at the state. But, I'd appreciate it. I mean, again... I think I outlined pretty clearly what KFSK provides to the community, and I think we, you know, all citizens of the borough will lose service. If it gets deep enough to cut into the local service, that's where, that to me is the value that I am trying to protect. You know, the network programming that brings us, you know, quality and enriching programming is all fine and good when the money's there for it. But when it comes right down to it, what we're really, what I believe, what I always hear from listeners and people around the community and around the borough is that what they really appreciate is the local service, that we're here and providing a local service.
All right. Okay, and Nancy, you had a...
Yeah, so I agree that vague is better than volunteering for any size cut. They might have been only going to cut 12%, but if you're willing to cut 15%.
I don't believe that that's the case.
No, it probably isn't, but I think vagueness might be to your advantage. I think you're correct with that.
You know, we have a couple of my – any other comments? In my opinion, we have a couple of different approaches. We could throw another whereas in here that says that, you know, if it doesn't already, I'd have to read through it again, have suffered – cuts in the past and understand it needs to be done and we can absorb another cut. But then when we go into the legislature and visit with our senators and our representative, we could tell them in person that, you know, KFSK thinks they can maybe absorb this much, so can you please work to make that the maximum amount that can be cut? And I'm sure, Tom, are you lobbying the legislature as well?
Yes.
It sounds like you are.
Yes.
So
the second to the bottom, whereas, is where you could possibly strengthen it by adding in that there has already been.
Well, where the public broadcasting budget is.
There was a cut in last year's state budget.
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes.
Would the Assembly be willing to allow Tom to make that change and then just get it back over to Mindy and then we can get your signature on it? You know, the change that where it
then
talks about the past.
Yeah. I don't think
that would suggest is
pre-approve something like that. That's what we'd be doing, basically, because we want this to go to the legislature before we are out there, I would think.
And again, as if I can, I think getting back to what Nancy said is, I thought it was best to be in writing like this, more vague, when you're walking through the halls. That's where you can, you know, one-on-one speak to a percentage.
Mm-hmm. I agree with
that. And
that's
the way I've been handling it. And I think it would be a good coordinated effort.
Does that sound good with the Assembly to let those modifications be made? And that's the approach we use. And move forward with this resolution's approval today and get it sent to the legislature?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll make, it sounds like, I guess.
Well, I was just going to say, as I was saying in that second to the last, whereas, public broadcasting was cut in FY16 and was cut. The public broadcasting budget realized a significant cut in FY16 and is facing significant reductions in the upcoming legislative process.
Okay, so we could add that wording. Mindy, did you?
Does that work?
Get that?
I mean,
that seems like a good wording. So
yeah.
So therefore, we keep percentages out. It remains vague, but it does get the point across that
this is a trend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that if the trend continues as is, the local service is in jeopardy.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Any other discussion on the resolution as it's going to be modified? Okay. Will the clerk call the roll?
Jay.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, so resolution 2016-04 passes unanimously with a little change to it. And later in the meeting, we're going to be discussing topics of conversation with our state delegation. So we could bring it up again then, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, for your input. Okay, next item under new business is land grant entitlement to the Petersburg Borough. And the Municipal Land Selection Committee is asking the Assembly to send a letter to our legislators requesting they include legislation increasing the general land grant entitlement to the Petersburg Borough. So I would entertain a motion to go along with the committee's suggestion and ask for that.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Strand, to ask the state to, and I believe in here they're asking the letters like for 14,666 acres instead of the 1,400-ish that we're going to get. And I don't think it's you know, if I don't want to use the word greedy, I don't think it's being greedy, but other assembly, other boroughs in the state have asked for more and received it. So, Liz, do you have any comment on this? Does this sound like a good idea to pursue?
I was just going to say, Mr. Mayor, that the $14,666 is just under 0.8% of our land mass, and that's the average that all the municipalities around the state have received through their entitlement program. So we're not asking for an outrageous amount. We're just asking for what the average, what every other municipality has received. So it's, I think it's a modest request.
Sounds like a good way to go. We're not asking for more than anybody. Any other comments?
Yeah, I don't think we have our act together, myself. A question I asked to Dave when he was here, each of the other boroughs that were formed, I agree, got additional acres, but each of them, not all of them, there was at least three different processes they used in the state. Separate bills, there was other ways to go about it that they've used. And I don't believe we've explored, at least talked to some of those other boroughs of how they went about it, what the process was, in order to make our, well, what I'm trying to do is make ourselves more effective is where I'm at this. And I really think we need to do some more homework. I don't have any problem with going forward. I agree with the idea of going forward, you know, with a bigger amount. I just think we have a lot more homework to do to figure out exactly what the best method was. And second is because then I think we need to talk to our own legislatures, even having a bill maybe in hand, if that were what it would come down to present to them and saying, this is what we're looking at, or this, and maybe modeled after one of the other boroughs it was done up in the interior. I just think we have a lot more homework to do here. And I'm not disagreeing with going forward. I just really think we have a lot more work to do here.
It makes sense to me that we make the proper presentation, and Liz had her hand up. She had a comment, so maybe she, and like you say, when we go to Juneau next week or in 10 days, whatever it is, we could talk to our legislators about it and see what they feel would be the proper approach. It would be nice to be able to receive more.
And to DNR. I think it'd be good to meet with DNR.
Well, that's what, one of the next items on our agenda is to decide who we want to talk to, and then our lobbyists can arrange those meetings in Juneau. So, Liz, you had a comment?
I just wanted to address Assemblymember Lynn's, some of his concerns. You're right. We do have a draft legislation that we've drawn up, and it's based on what Wrangell used to increase their entitlement. It's the same bill. We just switched out, you know, the names and the dates and the amounts. And I have spoken to Carol Rushmore and Wrangell on the process that they used. So I think they're focus was on negotiating directly with DNR up front. Our situation is that, you know, we need to narrow down a little bit better what lands, what 14,000 acres we would be interested in to begin that discussion with DNR. And I'm hopeful that tomorrow when the Land Selection Committee meets, we'll be looking at that aspect of things. Right now we've got an initial list based on what DNR offered us, but we haven't really looked at beyond that. So we need to, you know, do a little bit of work, like you said, but we've started down that path. But I think it's good to get our legislators informed of what we're thinking and also DNR about what we're thinking, since the session's already started. So that's why we approached you now.
And it sounds like there'd be something that the Assembly's going to have to take action on after the Land Selection Committee gives their recommendation.
Right.
But to start the process, I think the timing's not bad.
And I also think, Liz, that we need to make some calls to, there's a couple of the boroughs in the interior did the same thing, and I have to dig through my information to find out, you know, to tell you which ones those are, but I think it'd be worth a few calls to those folks to see what their thought process was and how they went about it. I can get some of that. The other thought I have is that I believe that part of the lands of which you have in the pool have already been designated either as state marine parks or state recreation areas. The question I have in my own mind, and which I don't know the answer to, does that still make them eligible for selection or not? I don't know. But there's the area around Grief Island and the islands south of there are in a marine park, a state marine park. I know that. But I don't know the answers to my questions. You know, as I say, I just think we have some more work to do here.
doesn't it all have to fit under the VUU designation, vacant, unreserved, unrestricted, or whatever that stands for, I believe, land?
Correct. Yeah. So the lands that have been designated for state marine parks are not eligible for selection, and there's that land around Peter Pass State Marine Park.
Yeah, yeah.
So none of that is available for selection. I believe Grief Island was not included in that marine park, and they've designated that as selectable.
Yeah, I do remember a map seeing it on it, but I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, I do think we do have a little bit more homework.
Okay, any other discussion on moving forward with this request from the Land Selection Committee?
I just wanted to commend the committee. I wouldn't have thought to take this approach, and I appreciated that they took the time to dig into it and decided that that was a good avenue to pursue.
Yeah, I know we've had a discussion in the past, and it's been quite a while ago, so I'm glad it came to the forefront again and we're starting the process. And it's, I don't think it's, or I wouldn't call it a fault, but we're this, you know, the legislative session's already going. We had to wait until the Supreme Court made a decision on our boundary, so we're just going to have to fast-track it, maybe. So is everybody in favor of doing this? Just everybody say aye, or that's in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed to doing this? See none. We'll move to the next item on the agenda, and that is CAKE Access Road Funding. January 19th, 2016 meeting, the Assembly requested the subject of possible funding reappropriation be added to a future agenda. So anybody want to make a motion to ask the legislature to reappropriate this funding?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Actually, I would... I'll just go with it. Correct me if I do it wrong. But I would move to table this issue for the time being. I spoke with our lobbyist, Ray, up in Juneau this week, and given the legislative climate, I think right now we run significant risks of jeopardizing that money for Petersburg Borough, CAKE, et cetera, in any form, if we, the issue is pushed at this point. And I would advocate for maybe revisiting the issue at a later date when potentially the political climate is a little more favorable towards Petersburg, CAKE, et cetera. So in short, I'd move the table to table the issue.
Okay, and I'm not sure if
I don't know if I can do that right there.
To table, we'd have to make a motion to discuss, but if there is no motion to discuss, then it kind of dies right there, but it can be brought back up at any time. I'd love to see why it can't. So.
Then never mind.
Okay, so I'm going to ask one more time. Is there a motion to ask the legislature to reappropriate this money? Seeing none, the discussion on that is off the table at this time, and it can be brought up later. Okay, now the next item on the agenda is subjects for discussion with legislators. Myself, Vice Mayor Logadakis, and Assemblymember Lynn, like we talked about earlier, are traveling to Juneau this month to attend Alaska Municipal League. And we'll have the opportunity to meet with the legislators or departments, but we need to kind of get some direction from the Assembly so we can contact our lobbyist and he could set up the appointment. So far, we have one appointment on Monday the 14th, I believe it is. No, it's the 15th at 10 o'clock, and that's the one with the DOT to talk about the harbors. And I know the rest of that day is fairly open, and Thursday, I believe, is open to... So, and we could fit in time during those 3-4 days. So, ideas? Maybe I'll entertain a motion to make a list of items to discuss with our legislators and departments in Juneau.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Walhooter, seconded by Member Strand to itemize a list of discussion items to have in Juneau. So any discussion, any ideas, we could come up with a list. I know the one will be the harbors, and it seems like, and the land selection would be another one. CAFSK funding could be another one. Any other ideas?
I would like to have maybe discuss with Ray about what Jay just brought up about the CAKE Petersburg Road access there.
Okay.
I myself... always believed to be kind of upfront about what our intentions are. I would like to think that nobody's going to discover that money this session and take it away from us. But if they do, I think it might be prudent for this community to already have a resolution that says if this money is going to be reappropriated, we have two harbor projects, the Papke's Landing Dock and the Kupernoff Dock, that need to be completely overhauled at the tune of about $1.2 million apiece. So $2.5 million towards those. And if this municipal building falls into the criteria of energy savings or energy cost savings, if we could get $3 million for that, I'd like to have a resolution that says that we do have a plan for, you know, $5.5 million if it's going to disappear from our district to go someplace else. But we don't have to present that to the legislature, but we should have it already resolved. It should be in our representative's pocket so they could pull it out and go, but wait a minute, they do have a purpose for that pre-it being reappropriated to somebody else. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just some thoughts that you might want to bring up with Ray and your representatives up there to see if that is an action that we shouldn't take.
Ray, well, some of the discussions that I've had with Senator Stedman is when they got the money appropriated, and it has been sought after in the last couple of years. So it's not that they haven't been trying to get it. So, but it sounds to me like if it gets thrown on the table to be divvied up right now, I don't think we're going to get a very big piece of the cookie.
Right. I'm not looking to put it out there that it's going to be divvied. I'm just saying that it would be kind of handy, I would think, to be able to have a resolution already stated that we do have a purpose for a portion of that money.
Okay,
you know,
so that's,
and that's just a thought, if you want to take it to them and see what you think.
Maybe after our discussion in Juneau, we'll get I've already got a pretty good idea of the feel of the legislature up there from, you know, discussions I've had with people, but we could discuss it some more. And if to do that, we'd have to take formal action on it, like you say. And I don't.
Yeah, I'll just.
I believe, you know, being in an open public process myself.
Right.
You know, pretty strongly.
I wouldn't propose this until after you guys get back and give us a feel for what you think is going to happen. So,
okay.
Anyway, that's what I was thinking.
All right. So, are you keeping a list of this, Mindy? So,
yeah.
Thank you. Someone's keeping track. But Cindy?
I think Nancy had her hand up before.
Okay. Nancy, sorry.
For clarification, was all $40 million of this from the state, or is some of it federal highway funds?
I am not 100% sure, but I think it's from the state.
That's what I thought.
Mr. Mayor, I did look into that, and I was told it was all state funding.
Right. At the time that $40 million was appropriated for this district, it was the reason they chose the Cake Petersburg Road was because Senator Stedman got together with the Federal Highways and the Forest Service and asked if we were to build a road in Southeast, which would be the priority, and that was the road they chose. And there was boroughs and municipalities up in the interior that were getting $400 or $500 million. So we just, like in everything, we get our little chunk. So that's where that $40 million came from. Is that all, Nancy?
My other question is: Are they still considering changing it to the Northern Middle Route or whatever?
No, I'm not sure.
Which I think is the more sensible selection, but...
Aren't they still going through the EIS process on this?
It's still open.
It's still open.
Cindy?
I feel like we're spitting in the wind, but I don't think that we cannot discuss our support for ferries in Southeast Alaska. I think that's going to be an ongoing issue.
Okay, so the ferry system, I agree, I don't know if this is on the street. I think it's one on the radio. Maybe, well, Tom can tell us. Taku's for sale, and two other boats are going to be sold, too. So if that tells you anything about the ferry service, it's not a good picture. Okay. Bob?
I had the same one, but I have a question for Kelly. Is the funding, our jail funding, secure this year, or does there need to be some discussion, follow-up discussion on it?
I think it's still up in the air right now. We're hearing some positive inklings, but it's still very much up in the air. I know the Chiefs of Police Association is getting ready to draft a letter with some funding suggestions, and they're gathering all the information from across the state to put that letter together. So any support we can get there would be appreciated.
So that would be jail contract funding?
Community jails contract funding,
right.
Yes.
So any other thoughts? What do we have so far, Mindy? Give us a little rundown.
Okay. The harbor, land selection, KFSK funding, the Petersburg Keg Access Road funding allocation, the support for the ferry system in Southeast Alaska, and the community jails contract funding.
You know, and if there's more topics that come up during conversations, we'll relay what we get. So with this, we could get with our lobbyist, and he could maybe Department of Corrections about the jail funding. Would that be a suggestion, Steve? Or how do you feel on that? And Kelly?
I'm not sure it's Department of Corrections versus our legislators. Kelly, you might want to jump in here, but the Department of Corrections is a brand new commissioner. May not be a bad thing to meet with them, but it sounds like the chiefs of police are right on top of that. Maybe the conversation starts with Ray to find out what does he think, and if he thinks a meeting with the new DOC commissioner is worthwhile, or is the meeting just left with Senator Stedman and Jonathan. So Ray might be the best to direct you there. But Kelly,
I think probably a combination of both. We're going to look at funding that comes down from the budget that's dedicated to the community jails program, but then the commissioner is going to be responsible for divvying up that money throughout the community jails in the state. So we're trying to ask for an equitable share, based on usage.
Okay, well, we should have a pretty good leverage there. It's been pretty busy lately.
Last month has been a little busy.
But Ray might be able to give some guidance on this one. He used to have pretty good contacts in Department of Corrections. I don't know if he still does.
Yeah. So how should we go about it, assembly members? Would you be comfortable with, and if anybody else wants to join in on the conversation, with Steve and I getting a hold of Ray and running this list by him and get some input? Does that work for everybody? How about Steve? Does that work for Steve?
Perfect.
It does. There's one item that we may want to add to the list, and it is the condition of medical facilities in our region and how we are going to address that and fund that, especially in view of reduced transportation options out of our community in the upcoming years.
Okay. I did notice one thing in Ketchikan when I drove by the hospital yesterday. I was doing a little tour around, and they're doing that $40 million project, so it's still 100 miles away. If you don't have a ferry, it doesn't do you much good. Okay, so we have seven items that all seem like fairly important items to our needs. I don't see why, if anybody has any other thoughts after we leave here today, if you can just get a hold of the manager and tell him, I thought of this, and we could, make the best use of our time when we're in Juneau, I guess. Okay, so any other ideas right now? Looks like the conversation kind of waned here, so we have... Do you have seven items there, too, Mindy? Okay, perfect. So it doesn't look like any other input there. Now that moves us to communications. There is none listed there. I guess back to the proclamation of Ruth Sandvik's birthday, that I believe is Monday the 8th, 3 o'clock at the Holy Cross House.
3:30.
Oh, 3:30. So that would have been early. We could work an extra half an hour. Good. So anybody wanting to join that festivity, I think it would be well attended. That brings us, any other communications? Look around before I move on. Nope. Okay. Assembly discussion items. Any recognitions?
I have one, and I want to recognize Carl Hagerman.
You might have to come forward for this, Carl.
I think you do, Carl.
Look at him. Could you please come forward for this, Carl?
I just stepped on my microphone.
The wheels are turning here.
Carl was very gracious in giving Eric Castro and myself a very thorough tour of the public works facilities last week. And I've learned a lot, and it was very interesting, and managed to keep my shoes relatively clean as we went through the waste treatment facility. But I wanted to give you this token of our thanks for your willingness to answer all sorts of questions from the Assembly with grace and with humor, and your enthusiasm for serving the public and also in maintaining good humor through the transition from no curbside recycling to blue bags to blue carts. So this is for you, Carl. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Speech, you can
wait until he sees what it
no
is.
No speech.
Well, for those of you,
I tried to give him my mic, but he refused to speech.
Yes.
For those of you listening, Carl has received something in a wrapped package here from Cindy. So that went through screening before it came out.
Ah,
no,
perfect.
Oh, nice. It's
really nice.
It looks like Cindy's artwork with a bunch of recycle stuff on the front.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah.
So thank you very much, Carl.
Thank you very much. This is, I love this.
Okay.
I didn't take a picture of that, I have to say.
Any other recognitions today by staff or any Assembly members? Okay, seeing none, move us on to discussion about the marijuana ordinance. And Steve, do you want to give us
yes.
This came from a couple of different municipalities' ordinances?
Just so you know the background of this. Started looking to try to find a already written marijuana ordinance in the state of Alaska. Didn't find one. Went out to AML, and they had several examples, one from Sitka and one from Dillingham, that we printed. We kind of combined the two in different areas that made some sense. And then we sent the whole thing to Jim Brennan and said, Jim, weigh in. And we got a very long, lengthy two emails from Jim with challenges to various parts of that ordinance. And so we've made some changes based on Jim's, you know, recommendations. In a sense, what you've got in front of you is a framework. I hate to call it anything other than that because it's still definitely a work in progress. I'm not sure Debbie has completed going over every piece of this with Jim to make sure that, you know, answering his questions that he has. But that's kind of where we are right now, is a lot of taking comment. So we do encourage Assembly members to look at this, talk about it, feed stuff back. I doubt we're going to have answers. This is going to be one of those things that a lot of your questions are actually probably going to go right from us to the attorney. And, you know, we'll go from there. But we're closer. But that being said, it's still definitely a work in progress. Mindy, did I cover that? I know you haven't worked as much on this as Debbie has, but
I think that's where we stand.
Thank you.
And Debbie will be back to be involved in this discussion
next week.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for Steve. Is there some place that this information can be accessed? Some of my constituency follows it fairly closely, but they want to remain discreet.
We can put this on the website. As long as everybody understands, it's definitely a work in progress. This is, we have yet to say, yeah, we're happy with this. This is still kind of in this. We have a lot of questions of the attorney ourselves. That Jim said.
Maybe it's too soon.
I think all comments are welcome at this point. It's not going to hurt and may help us clarify things. Those of you who've dealt with Jim kind of understand this, which is you get as many questions back as you do information, and that's kind of where we are right now, is him asking questions of what are you trying to accomplish and us going, well, we're not really sure. And a lot of back and forth right now. So,
And I can't remember the dates. Isn't the some date this month? Isn't there a deadline this month?
We're not going to meet the states. The state's going to be rolling stuff out before we will be available.
Potentially. February 21st.
Is there a deadline for adopting a marijuana control board in our borough so we can collect half of the taxes that the state gets?
Doesn't appear to be a deadline, but it's one of the first things that we're going to want the Assembly to do. One of the things we're trying to figure out there is, you know, and this is one of the questions for the Assembly, which is, do you want to be that? Meaning, does the Assembly want to be the local marijuana control board, or do you want some a different board to handle it, or you want a brand new board set up? It's one of the things. It's one of the questions that Jim had,
which makes sense. We're the board of equalization or whatever, and disputes on property tax issues and stuff. So that's a discussion we need to have, and do need to find out if there is a deadline, because it'd be a shame to see that date come and go, and we didn't take that action.
I think it's February 12th.
The staff is recommending it that it be the assembly, but
which is before just, our next meeting.
Cindy, you have a comment?
No, I have limited enthusiasm for that, but I think that to expedite things, and I am also concerned about missing that opportunity, that we might want to make us the interim board with the idea that we would revisit that and do something else at a later date.
If that's possible, that's something we could even address at the next meeting this month.
It's a local decision. I mean, that particular part of the state ordinance is very, it just, if you want to collect, if at some point the assembly or the borough wants to collect added on taxes, and this is outside of the normal sales tax, you know, the licensing fees will go to the state, but there's a shared value there, but you've got to have your own local board set up if you're going to receive those shared funds. And so that's.
And also, I believe if we want to have a say in what the state approves and so forth, we need to designate ourselves that, or, but to me, it's no different than alcohol. You know, we approve or vote on whether or not we'll agree on license extensions, et cetera. I see no difference really here, myself. But maybe there is from pro and con. I noticed in Jim's notes back to us that he argues himself both ways in a couple of these cases here.
Yeah. And, but like we said, we have as many questions as we have answers at this point, unfortunately. It's a new, very complex issue from, you know, and we're doing this without the state being done with stuff. And that's some of what Jim's worried about, is the state has not necessarily finalized certain things, and we're left with trying to fill in the blanks. And I'm not... We looked around. We couldn't find a single municipality in Alaska that's any farther along than we are. Some have passed moratoriums. Some have passed pieces of it. You know, I think Sitka did a, you know, definition of public use, and have an ordinance that's all it is. It just talks about defining public use and what you can and cannot do out in public. But there's nothing else in their ordinance. So I think a lot of communities are kind of doing this mishmash type approach, picking a hot issue that's a big deal in their community and writing a very quick ordinance that covers just that, but it's not comprehensive. We're trying to do something that's comprehensive and not finding anything to model that after, to be honest with you. So.
And just to add on to what Steve said, as far as my research, seeing what other communities are doing, it's either exactly like Steve has said, one little piece, like we'd brought up 200 or 500 feet, and that's what communities deal with. Or it's a flat-out opt-out, like we saw, and I believe it was Wasilla was the last one this last week. Yeah. And the comprehensive versions do not exist in anywhere at this point. Which leads to a question I had for the Assembly. Kurt, you'd mentioned last time the idea of whatever ordinance we come up with, the idea of bringing it before the Marijuana Advisory Committee. What is the Assembly's pleasure on when I... Would you like to wait on this until we get something more fleshed out, or would you like that to be brought to them sooner than later? I'll look to you guys for feedback on that.
I mean, as long as we're not, you know, painted into a corner, I think I would rather wait until we see a little bit more comprehensive coming to gel maybe a little bit more, with what the state's going to do.
Yeah, more of a framework to work from to get
feedback. Yeah, with a little more framework, yeah. Because right now I think all we're going to be doing is just second-guessing Jim and the state.
I humbly agree, but I want to make sure you guys were okay with that.
Yeah. Does anybody on the... I mean, for some reason, the mid or third week of this month sticks in my mind when the state
first
marijuana board comes up with their approved plan.
They're supposed to, yes.
So you need to keep... abreast of that. When that comes out, then we know what the state's position is going to be. We can't do anything other than the state, you know, anything opposing the state's regulation. That's the way I've been reading it. So,
Correct, Mr.
Nancy.
I thought for some reason I'm thinking it's February 12th. And we need to find wrong that about that.
Well, the states...
We already outweighed the state until they've come forth with a draft that is wrong in so many ways that... And it's too late to say anything. I don't know how much longer we should wait.
Eric, you had a comment?
Yeah, well, right here in Jim Brennan's letter, it says new regulations subsuming 127 pages were filed by the state last week and will become effective on February 21st, 2016.
Okay. I thought it was this month. So then it's going to be written in stone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So during our next assembly meeting.
Yeah, the day after that.
Yeah. In theory, a lot of Jim's questions should be somewhat out. Not going to be somewhat answered by then. There's no guarantees on that either.
Right, because, yeah, if you read Jim's thing, one of his big concerns is giving advice to the borough when the state's statute, hasn't been approved yet. Because we can't, the borough cannot pass anything that's in opposition to what the state did. So he does a lot of time talking about that issue, that it's really hard to do anything prior to the state finalizing what they're doing. And that's what we're up against. I mean, we're going to have a hard time getting attorney-blessed ordinance until the state does their thing.
Right. Which makes sense, so we don't need to talk to Jim again until after the 22nd. Any other discussion on this marijuana ordinance situation? I think we're kind of...
Yeah, just to clarify, we'll let this all finally shake out where it is. We'll get back together as an assembly and then have the advisory... committee meet after that and talk about what we've come up with. That's what I'm hearing from you guys.
Sounds like a good schedule. So sometime after our 22nd meeting, before the end of the month, maybe the marijuana committee could meet if that fits people's schedule. Or
perhaps after Member Castro and I return from Wrangell, meeting with the Marijuana Control Board as well after that.
And when's that again?
I believe March 2nd or 3rd.
Okay,
like that.
That's not too far.
First couple days of March.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway, good deal. Thank you.
Okay, so... I don't think we're the only municipality borough having this discussion. I know Ketchikan's been going back and forth for quite a while on it. So. Any other discussion items? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 So you guys are going to be our Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell.